This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
So, last week, a Tesla Model 3 crashed into a parked police car, and the officer was rendering assistance to another motorist, and the policeman was out of his vehicle and was able to get out of the way of this Tesla that crashed into him. Into his car while he was parked rendering assistance. And I don't think anybody was really seriously injured. But this is not the first. This is not going to be the last. So how do we stop these Teslas? Elon Musk is a blight on the planet, in my opinion. And people are using his vehicles and not paying attention. And his autopilot vehicles are crashing into concrete stanchions, bridges, tractor trailers. And I think they're going to continue until one of two things happens. One, people start putting up signs in their house with a big arrow pointing toward their neighbor's yard that says, my neighbor is a reckless driver. He has a Tesla. My neighbor is a reckless driver. He has a Tesla, or she has a Tesla. A senator or a congress critter is killed by an autopilot Tesla. Until one of those things happens, these things are going to continue to be a blight on the planet. I mentioned that I had something to say about these Chinese products. So we used to make freezers in this country, chest freezers, and we've given up. They're made in China. And there's a company called Haier, H-A-I-E-R. Now, they took over the tooling from a U.S. manufacturer like General Electric or Whirlpool or something like that, because the chest freezers look identical to what we used to make in this country, except they're you know, more handy. They're easier to carry around with you because they're lighter in weight. Now, I've said many times that what the Chinese can do is they can take whatever the absolute minimum amount of material is to make a product, they can take out 10% more. So if it's the minimum, it's the minimum. That's it. You can't go any lower, but they take out another 10%. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. So there was a guy who was giving away a chest freezer. It was relatively new. It was a Haier brand, H-A-I-E-R, 7 cubic feet. He couldn't wait to get rid of it. It worked. He just bought it, but he didn't want it. It was taking up room in his garage. He bought something to put in his garage, and this was in the way. So he put an ad in Craigslist and said, come get it free. So we got it. Now this thing, it looks nice. It's got paint. But if you put food in it, and you expect it to actually freeze all the way to the top of the chest freezer. So if you fill it up, and you expect the top layer to freeze. And if you have it set on anything other than absolute maximum cold, it will not freeze. Now, if you look at any American manufactured freezer, whether it be a General Electric, I'm talking vintage, General Electric, Whirlpool, Kenmore, any of those brands, you could set it on the middle and it would get cold enough. Not this thing. This thing is so substandard that you have to set it on maximum in order to get it to work at the minimum level. And if you were to drop something like an orange juice container, a 6-ounce frozen orange juice container, on the bottom floor of the inside of this chest freezer, let's say it was empty, and a orange juice tube slipped out of your hand, it would dent the bottom aluminum skin, which is just several thickness is of aluminum foil thick. It would dent it. It's that cheesy. So, I would never buy one. I'm telling you that you need to look at these things before you buy one of these things, because it's on sale now and you can get them. Chest freezers? We don't make them. So I suggest you do what we did. We bought a used one that's like 35 years old and it's perfect. I mean, it's, you know, it's got some dings and dents, but it works mechanically and the cooling system is perfect. 35 years old. We have several of them and they all work just fine. So, Gwyneth, the Chinese are laughing at us. They're selling us substandard junk. People are buying it because it looks nice. And when they're going to find out that that chest freezer is going to quit, that refrigerator is going to quit. Everybody knows that LG, Gold Star, and Samsung are the worst appliances on the market. Everybody knows that. But yet, what does Lowe's sell? What does Home Depot sell? LG, Gold Star, and Samsung. Back to you.
Yep. That's about the sum of it. And, you know, this is... We are headed for a complete systemic collapse of our entire civilization. That's just where it is. Regarding the Teslas, pretty soon I won't be able to get any rubber parts or tires or anything like that for them anyway. And they'll all be off the road because, you know, you can't operate an automobile if it doesn't have tires. And they, you know, they're not going to be able to do it. It's all going away. And this sort of comes onto the theme of the broadcast that I, you know, in my talking points that I emailed to you earlier. We're going to have to figure out how to build ourselves at a very, very basic level, at the sort of level that indigenous tribal people all over the world operate at. And we're almost having to operate at that level now, you know. Even the Amish, we think that the Amish are not very technologically savvy, but they rely on the modern world. They're going to have to take a step back and figure out how to do it themselves. They're going to have to remember how to do blacksmithing instead of buying chisels from their big box hardware store. But, I mean, I bought a set of chisels last week because I saw them in the hardware store and I happened to have a little bit of extra money on me. And I saw the chisels and I bought them because I thought, well, they're not going to be there for very long. And they're in this, you know, it wasn't a big box hardware. It was a small country town or medium-sized country town hardware store. And, you know, it was next to the Trudy Market, which is actually in the one business. So this particular supermarket, they've devoted approximately half their shop space to opening a hardware store. So half the supermarket is now a hardware store, and the other half of the supermarket is now a supermarket. So that suits all these little country town people. But if you imagine the floor plan of your average large-ish supermarket, then that would be the size of a hardware store. So it wasn't a tiny, dusty little hardware store. But nevertheless, they only had one box of Stanley chisels. They had other brands. They had the Trojan chisels and they had various other brands of chisels. But they had one box of four Stanley chisels, a whetstone, and a little bottle of lubricant in a plastic box. And I'm sure that Stanley sells these sorts of things all over the world. So I bought these chisels and I bought a mallet and I bought a metric tap and die set and I bought an imperial tap and die set and I bought a Dremel kit. But it wasn't a Dremel kit, I think it was made by Rockwell, but you know what I mean. And I'm buying these things because I can see that the whole thing's going down and that these tools were are all the last of their kind, except for the mallet. The rubber mallet, there were probably about, you know, half a dozen of them on the shelf, which is fair enough. But all the rest of them, the tap and die set, the metric imperial tap and die sets, both of them, they were separate sets, the Dremel type tool, and the chisel set, all those four different sets of tools were all the last that were on the shelf in this, you know, largish country town hardware store. And, you know, this is, I don't know if they're going to get, they probably will get them again. But, you know, did you ever see any hardware store of any kind, of any size, that only had two tap and die sets in the whole store, one metric and one imperial? That's a fairly, I would think, I mean, it's not a beginner's level tool, but it's a fairly common sort of tool. Does that make sense? So I only have one set of four chisels in the whole hardware store.
We use them all the time. We use tap and die sets all the time, and we have several of them here. And what happens is we have to rethread holes in blocks, you know, engine blocks. We have to rethread wheel studs because the last guy didn't know how to, you know, last guy used an impact gun and damaged the threads. I mean, so we use them all the time. But, yeah, and you need them. And yet, you don't see very many of them available. And I think there are two reasons for that. One, I think there's a supply chain problem. And two, I think that people don't know how to use them. They don't know, they wouldn't know what to do with it if they had it, let alone what it's really used for.
Yeah.
There's another thing that's going on.
Can I spend a moment telling the staff how to use a tap and die set?
Yeah, please do. And talk about the lubricant as well. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Now, with a tap and die set, you get a, it's like a device that has two handles on either side, okay? And it has a little thing in the middle where it has a little screw that you can put the die in, okay? And this is what you use to make new threads on a bolt. And then it has various sizes of the, various threads. And it's very important when you get the appropriate size die to put into the little handle thing. And if anyone wants to see what a die handle looks like, they can go on to their favorite search engine and type in die handle, and you'll come up with a picture of it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's got two handles on either side. And you put, if you can, okay, if you can get the bolt off, then you should put it in a vise, and you should put it at 90 degrees. And you put the die on the top, okay? And then, when you make sure that you are threading it in the appropriate direction, in the same direction that the thread goes. Now, for most threads, that's going to be let me think, clockwise for most threads. But if it's a gas thread, you have to do it anti-clockwise. That's right, isn't it?
That's correct.
It's been a very long time since I've seen that. But you have to do one, two, and then you do a quarter back.
Right. And then hold
one,
that thought.
Two,
hold that thought.
And then a quarter back.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least four times per day and inject insulin at least three times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Gwyneth's with us in Australia, and she bought a tap and die set, both Imperial, which would be SAE, Society of Automotive Engineers, that'd be the American standard, and the metric standard. So she bought one of each, and it's a tap and a die. So the tap is to cut threads into something like an engine block or such, and a die is to put threads or restore threads on something like a bolt, or make threads on a piece of metal that will become a bolt or a threaded rod. And so Gwyneth is teaching us how to do that, and she's talking about going forward and backward with the tool, because you cut a little bit of threads and you go backward, and because you've got steel shavings that you don't want to have get in the way and damage the threads that you're trying to cut, and you use lubricant. Gwyneth, please continue.
Yeah, and you have to use lubricant. You have to put down a little tiny bit of very fine grade lubricant as you're doing this. Oh, and before you do the top of the bolt, you should make a little beveled edge called a chamfer around the top of the bolt. And that will do two things. It helps to guide the die onto the bolt in the appropriate way, and it also makes it a whole lot easier to get nuts onto the bolt when you've finished making the bolt. Okay, so that's just a little handy tip. It's not absolutely necessary, but it definitely makes the job a lot easier. It makes it easier to get the die onto the bolt in the first place, And it also makes it easier to get the nut onto the bolt when you finish making the bolt. Otherwise, you can end up stripping out your threads again. But this is the thing, and like I said, I had he was actually a master engineer, my dad. And his bread and butter was that he was a heavy diesel mechanic. But that was what he really loved was steam locomotives. And he trained, his initial training was as a locomotive engineer. And obviously that involves knowing how to work with diesel locomotives as well, which is diesel engines. But steam locomotives were his love and his pride and his joy. And in his life, after he retired, he made three steam locomotives. One of them was a British locomotive, and the other two were Rogers. And Rogers locomotives are the types of locomotives that they used on the California Railway. So if you want to see a very good example of a Rogers steam locomotive, then watch the TV series Hell on Wheels. And they have a very, very fine example of a Rogers locomotive as the locomotive on Hell on Wheels. But they were also used in New Zealand because they don't require much maintenance. Everything's open. You can get to everything easily. And for that reason, my dad absolutely loved the Rogers locomotive. And he loved cars that were like that. And he loved locomotives that were like that. He loved any engine that you get to easily, pull apart easily, work on, and put back together without spending 3 days doing it. That was the sort of engine that he loved. And he taught me a few mechanical skills, but you're absolutely right. You've got to, the reason why you do one turn and then two turns, which is actually just one, because you grab each side of the handle and you keep your hands at a 90-degree angle to the bolt, and that's how you do it. So you're actually just doing one thread, but it takes two motions and then a quarter back, and that breaks that little shaving of metal off, and it sort of flicks it out of the machine, and it stops it from interfering with the rest of the process. And my dad said, if you don't do that, he said, so many people try and make the whole thread at once, and they don't just end up ruining the bolt, they end up stripping out the die. And they ruin the die. And my dad said, you know, when you're working as an engineer, you realize that dies are expensive. You don't waste them. If you look after them, they will last a very, very long time. But you have to do it that way. And he said, if you're working on a high-speed metal, which means a very, very hard metal, like maybe stainless steel or a high-tech alloy, then you'll do a lot less than
we'll
two turns. That's your mind steel.
We'll be right back.
But if you're doing a high speed...
concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Caldor Fire, which has forced the evacuation of thousands of people from South Lake Tahoe and surrounding areas, including Nevada, is now threatening more than 34,000 structures after already destroying hundreds of homes. Tonight and tomorrow are critical days, according to South Lake Tahoe spokesperson Lindsay Baker. A law that bans abortions after 6 weeks, including the case of rape and incest, went into effect in Texas on Wednesday. The law, one of the most restrictive abortion bans in the United States, prohibits the practice after a fetal heartbeat is detected. The American Civil Liberties Union and abortion rights groups asked the Supreme Court to temporarily block the ban, but SCOTUS did not act by the deadline. The Florida Education Department will withhold funds for school districts that defy Governor DeSantis' ban on mask mandates. Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran, who was behind the decision to withhold salaries, said on the decision whether to wear masks should be left to the parents. USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
President Trump on Newsmax TV gives his opinion on the Afghanistan withdrawal.
The United States has totally lost control. People are bombing them. They're sending rockets into them. They're killing a lot of people, 200 people 2 days ago, of which we had 13 Marines at least, because you have a lot of very badly wounded Marines and Navy right now. This is the greatest humiliation in the history of our country, in my opinion. This is a psychological humiliation and a military humiliation. And when Biden said he's taking out the military before he takes out the people or the equipment, I said, that can't be possible. I figured the press got it wrong because they get so much wrong. And they didn't get it wrong. He took out the military, lost total control. We had total control. In fact, in his speech, I'm sure they were thrilled when he said it, but he made a mistake probably. But it was true. Not one soldier was killed for 18 months under me, because they understood that if they killed any of the American soldiers, any American, period, anybody gets killed, we go after them like I did many times. And I dealt with Abdul, who is now the leader. Officially, he was a leader then, too. So at least I was dealing with the right guy. And I told him, you will be met as hard or harder than any country has ever been met with force before. And I said, you understand that? And he did understand that.
I'm Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Class, just a quick tip. Let's say you're drilling in metal. What you do is, or what I do is I use an automatic center punch. I punch a slight dimple into the area I'm going to drill. And that way I can start the drill bit. I start with a smaller bit than the ultimate size. So I start with a smaller one, then a little bit larger, a little bit larger, a little bit larger. And I keep drilling holes larger and larger and larger. And what I do is I dip the tip of the drill bit, actually like a half an inch at least, into oil, and it could be automatic transmission fluid or it could be engine oil. And I drill a little bit and then I back up. and I lift the drill bit off the surface, and I add more oil, another drop of oil. And I try to keep that drill bit as cool as possible. So I drill, stop, drill, stop, drill, stop. And if it smokes, if that oil smokes, you've gotten that drill bit too hot, and you've damaged the tip, so it's no longer as sharp as it used to be. So anyone who you see drill a hole in metal without lubricant has no idea what he or she is doing. Okay, that's not an example you want to follow. So you want to do a little bit of drilling and then stop, cool the drill bit with another couple drops of oil. Or if you do what I do, have a small can, a small diameter can with oil, dip the drill bit in it, and then drill again, dip the drill bit in the oil, and keep cooling that tip. And those drill bits will last a lifetime if you do it that way and if you do it carefully. And I consider drill bits as, you know, as a precision tool, and I want to keep them around for a long time. So if I'm going to start with a half inch, if I want to drill a half inch hole, I start with a real small hole, like 1/8 of an inch. And then I might go to 3/16, I might go to 1/4, 3/8, and work my way up to 1/2 an inch. But they're always, always oil and lubricant is involved, and I go slowly so I don't overheat the drill bit. And that's the way to do it. Gwyneth, any comments?
Yeah, the harder the metal, the slower you should be drilling. That's another thing. So if you're trying to drill through, you can drill through stainless steel. You know, I know that some people say that you can't, but actually you can. But you have to do it really, really, really slowly. This is it. Of course you can machine stainless steel. Otherwise there wouldn't be parts made of stainless steel. And a drill is just a machine. So, but now, you know, so many years after my dad died, 18 years ago, I'm remembering all the tips and tricks of engineering, or some of them that he taught me. And it really is a blessing. But I don't know how long. Here in Australia, certainly, because we are really in a world of hurt here. We are really in deep trouble here. I don't even know if I'll be able to go to the supermarket next time. And every time every fortnight comes around, I've been saying, gee, I wonder if, you know, the days leading up to the town day, I'm thinking to myself, gee, I wonder if I'll be able to go into town. I wonder if it'll be safe. I wonder if, you know, what's going to happen over the next few days. You know, I wonder if there'll be a check here in my bank account, you know, for the regular check that I normally get. You know, this is the thoughts that run through my mind, and I know that sooner or later it's not going to be there. Now, if you look at Indigenous tribes, I know that a lot of people, they sort of poo-poo Indian tribes and they poo-poo Aboriginal tribes and all of this sort of thing, and Maori tribes and all of this, and they look down their noses at them. But if you look at the technology that they actually had, it was actually pretty sophisticated, okay? If you look at what the, for instance, the Pueblo Indians built, they were in the Four Corners area. They were building cities. And they were building cities pretty close to where Phoenix is. But they didn't have all of the water resources, and yet they managed to maintain a population in the desert. And they managed to live, instead of the people of Phoenix, by and large, they live on top of the desert. They don't live with the desert. Okay, they buy their food in from elsewhere. They buy their water in from elsewhere. They live in the desert, but they don't live with the desert, if that makes sense. But the Pueblo Indians found out how to live with the desert and to actually build their society to a point where they could have even small cities living in harmony with the desert, with the technology to do that, and to conserve their water, and to grow appropriate crops. And I'm feeling quite happy in my heart, Vincent, because this year I managed to buy some Hopi blue corn seeds, which is the same, one of the 19 varieties of maize that the Hopi Indians grew. They had 19 different varieties of maize that they maintained as independent strains for thousands of years. And I'm feeling quite glad in my heart. I'm blessing God because I managed to get one of these strains, which is called Hopi Blue. And this corn is an example of a technology. A corn is a technology. All maize is a technology, okay, because it doesn't occur in nature. So if you look at the wild maize plant, it doesn't look anything like a domestic maize plant, and it has like 10 kernels on a stalk. And, you know, as they ripen, they fall off and they fall to the ground. It doesn't really resemble very closely a domestic maize plant. Domestic maize plants were bred by humans. They're a technology of humanity, just the same as domestic dogs are bred by humans. When you get dogs in an archaeological site, you know you've got humans, because humans breed dogs. If dogs are left to themselves, they turn into a feral-type wild dog species, if that makes sense. So even if, you know, your dogs, if you disappeared off the face of the earth, your dogs would be perfectly capable of looking after themselves. They'd go wild. They retain that capacity. But humans bred Alsatians. If you get an Alsatian skeleton, you've got humans living in that area. Because that don't occur in the wild. You don't get wild Alsatian. You get a Jack Russell Terrier skeleton or a greyhound skeleton. Well, maize is like that. You don't get maize aside from humans. And the Hopi maize is unique in that it has an enormously deep taproot. And it has a certain metallic, it also has a very vigorous stalk where they can bury the corn seeds at least 6 inches deep, and in some areas they bury the seed as deep as 18 inches under the ground. And the drier the climate is, the harsher year they're expecting, the deeper they'll bury it. And that corn seed, if you plant a normal corn seed that deep, it won't make it. But if you plant a Hopi corn seed 6 inches deep in the soil, it'll find its way to the surface, and it will set its taproot even deeper. And they did that because they were growing this corn in the middle of the desert, in an area with between 300 and 400 millimeters of rain. And we typically here get between 500 and 800 millimeters of rain, which is still pretty dry. But I think our lowest ever rainfall was about 300 millimeters. That's 12 inches of rain. But this is it. You've got to go back to the old ways of doing things and remember the old ways of doing things. The Maoris, the New Zealand Maori, were weaving cloth and they didn't have looms. How do you do that? How do you make cloth without a loom? They had the flax plants. They had massive flax plantations that they would go, and any time they needed flax to make their linen, they would go and they would get the flax out of their flax groves, which is Thorium tenax, which had a staple about 3 or 4 times the staple of the European flax, far superior to the European flax. And they devised a way that you could pick the flax leaf and within minutes have it ready to weave, whereas the European flax would take a process of around about 6 months to get those flax fibres ready to weave. But the Maoris, they devised a way that you could do it within a few minutes. And I've seen it done, and I watched a video. I saw it done when I was a little girl, because we used to go visiting Maori areas, and I would watch the Maori flax workers work. And I recently watched a YouTube video from that same area watching the flax weavers work, and I'm so glad that somebody filmed it to put on YouTube. But they make cloth. The Maoris make cloth out of linen thread, and they don't have looms. Now, how do you do that? But it's, you know, once you've seen it, it's obvious. It's like, wow, why didn't anyone think of that? But this is it. They worked out how to do it because they needed to be mobile because they were in a state of constant warfare. And you can't have a loom set up to make cloth when you're in a state of constant warfare. I mean, what are you going to do, drag a loom across the countryside? No, they had it so you could fold the whole thing up within a few minutes and be out of there. And this is it. And these Maori cloaks, some of them take between 3 and 5 years to make. But they're handed down. They're so fine. They're so beautiful. Some of these cloaks are over 100 years old. And when the Queen goes to New Zealand, she wears a kiwi feather Maori ceremonial cloak that is specially kept for her and for other members of the royal family when they arrive. And it's kept in a museum, and that particular cloak is over 100 years old, and it's still perfectly good. Now, do you think that there's any item of clothing in the store that you could buy that you could still get out 100 years later and, you know, go and wear? If you got a T-shirt off the shelf today and even just hang it in the wardrobe for 100 years, do you think that after 100 years you could get that T-shirt out of the wardrobe and then go and put it on and wear it and think that everything's going to be okay? Do you think that, Vincent?
No, I have some Made in China T-shirts, and the elastic around the neck is so substandard. It looks like it's gotten so large that it looks like a woman's frilly neckline. Because the
first, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
It's going to be sliding. When you go to the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Gwyneth is with us live in Australia. Gwyneth, my understanding is that the blue hoppy or hopi corn has got more protein, about 20% more protein than other varieties of corn, but it's not as sweet. So it's really used for making cornbread, corn chips, tortillas, when you grind it up. That's what it's used for. Is that correct?
Yes, it's not a sweet corn. It's called a French corn, which is a type of very starchy corn with a very, very hard kernel. But what I've seen, because when I get on any topic like this, I go to YouTube and I just see if there's any videos on YouTube, first of all. And I came across a video which was put together by a group of Hopi, and they were living near the Four Corners area in Colorado. And what they would do is they would get the Hopi corn and they would dry it on the plant, okay? And they wait until the ear of corn has fallen over and the plant is completely dry, and then they pick it. And then they store it like that. But what it is you can soak them in water, or you can steam them in an earth oven, okay? And I've seen these earth ovens because they're identical to the earth ovens that the Maoris used, which is very interesting because the Maoris say that their people originally came from the Americas many thousands of years ago, and they came through, they came... It was quite a journey they came from, which is beside the point. But they came from the Andes up through Mexico and then across to Easter Island and down through Hawaii and then through all the other Pacific Islands. and then to New Zealand last of all. But the thing is that if, so that explains where they got the same technology as building the third oven. You can steam them and you can soak them, and the kernels, they will never be sweet. They'll always be starchy, but you can't even heat them off the pot, off the cob, if you soak them beforehand. So you need to soak them for about 24 hours, and then you will be able to cook them and eat them off the cob that way. But yes, mostly they're used for making a type of tortilla. Okay, and the tortilla is actually blue because the kernels are blue. Well, they have blue flecks to them instead of, you know, if you get a regular tortilla from, you know, the shops, it's a corn tortilla, then it will be yellow because the corn that it was made from had a yellow skin on the seeds. But these ones have little blue flecks to them instead of little yellow flecks to them, so it makes a blue tortilla that apparently is very highly prized. Mm-hmm. But you've got to get this sort of technology now. You've got to get seeds that are appropriate to your climate, and you have to get them now. You have to sometimes breed a seed for 2 or 3 or 5 years in your place for them to get acclimatized to your place. So, you know, you've got to do this, and you can't put this off because we've run out of time now. You know, you may not even be able to get the seeds now because, you know, the way that it is, you've got the truckers. Oh, this is the other thing I wanted to mention, the trucker strike. Can I go into that for a little bit, Vincent?
Yeah, yes, we only have a couple minutes to go. Quickly, please.
Okay. There's been that the truckers in America and in Australia have been threatening to go on strike because they don't want to get the jab. But even if they do get the jab, the most recent research is that most people who get the jab die within 3 to 6 months. They thought that it might be as long as 3 to 5 years. And yes, it's possible that some people will live with between 3 to 5 years with the jab in their system, and then they'll die. But the truck drivers, they're saying, we're not doing it because it's going to kill us, and it's going to give us blood clots, and we're susceptible to blood clots anyway because we drive all day, and we're sitting in one place all day. So that's a problem that truck drivers have to deal with anyway, is things like varicose veins and blood clots. They don't want to die, and so they're threatening to walk off. And if they walk off, then the country stops. If they don't walk off and then they get the jab, then within 3 to 6 months, the country stops. So either way, the country's going to stop. We're going to lose our trucking system. And that's a reason for you to begin to learn everything that you can about maintaining yourself and not being reliant on the supply chain. Does that make sense, Vincent?
Very, very well said. We're out of time, Gwyneth. Thank you for another outstanding broadcast. Gwyneth Isaacs, she's on Amazon if you'd like to buy her books.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.